You may be seated, and if you would please turn with me to the book of Psalm. We're going to go to chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 384. Psalm 5, verses 1 through 12. We read these words. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, O my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. And with you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, the bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence, and I will bow down before your temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God, that their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing every song for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Awesome words, and look forward to hear what God has to say to us through His Word this morning.
Thank you so much, choir, for that beautiful anthem. You know, sometimes we hear the familiar tunes and that type of thing, and we kind of take the words for granted. And then when we hear things a little differently, we listen with a fresh ear and with a fresh perspective. And it's wonderful to hear some of those old hymns. It's wonderful to sing them in their original, but it's also wonderful to hear them and to sing them with a little different tune and that kind of thing, because it makes them fresh and alive to us. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up to Psalm 5 once again. Psalm 5. And I want to ask you if you live in the fog. You may have noticed the sign out front. I posted on my Facebook page this week, are you living in the fog? And I had several responses to that. And no one got it right. And so I thought, okay. And they had some great responses. Are you living in the forgiveness of God? Are you living in the faithfulness of God? There were several responses. And even one comment from a gentleman, I'll not say who it was, who said, you know, this could only come from a sick mind. Right, Bill? No, I won't say who that was. But the question is, do you live in the favor of God? The 12th verse of this particular psalm, and that's where we're going to kind of focus, but I'm going to jump around a little bit today. But I want you to read with me that 12th verse once again. Notice, as the psalmist writes this, he says, "For it is Thou who dost bless Thy righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield." Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. For You, O Lord, will bless the righteous. You will surround him with favor as with a shield. As I looked at that word favor, I thought, well, I'm going to look at a couple of different resources and see what they mean. And so I went to Uncle Webster, the dictionary. I went to the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, and it says this: friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. Friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. And I thought, well, that's kind of nice. What does Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, or of Biblical Words, excuse me, say about this? It is stated here that the word favor is the same word that is used for grace, and it says it's grace on the part of the giver, favor on the part of the receiver. Grace that comes from a heart of a superior, God towards man, and favor upon man to receive a blessing from God. And I thought, you know, it's time that we start living in the favor of God. When we begin to stop taking Him for granted and stop imposing upon Him our wishes and our desires and just live in His shadow and receive from His hand that which He desires to give us and that which He wills to bless our lives with. And we need to understand that favor, first of all, is a gift. God does not have to bestow His favor on any of us. Consider for a moment the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You who are highly favored. Mary is about to find out something that everyone should know and that everyone needs to know. And that is that the favor of God was poured out upon this world through the person of Jesus Christ. And as He entered into this world and into this life, He came for the sole purpose of teaching and saving. That was His mission. That was His goal. There were other elements of His ministry that took place, yes. But the main thing that He wanted to do was to teach us about salvation that comes from the grace of God and is made available to every one of us. You see, in a nutshell, that's what the gospel message is all about. Every one of us has the opportunity to have an intimate relationship with God. Every one of us has access to the very God of creation. Every one of us is a prized possession of God. I love that thought. Have you ever stopped to consider that you are one of God's great prizes? He has surprised you by pouring out His favor upon you and lifting you out of a life of sin, by reuniting you with God Himself, and so He reaches and reconciles you to God. And then He, with His favor, gives you guidance and direction and leadership and encouragement and strength. God is incredible. And so are you. Stop and think about it. If God loves you enough to invest His very Son's blood in your salvation, then you're special. Consider it. You are favored by God. Are you living your life in the favor of God? Is He able to freely pour out His blessings upon you, pour out His Spirit upon you, to give you direction and guidance and help and encouragement? Is He able to do that freely because you're living in His favor, you're walking in His shadow, you're following Him intently and passionately? Or is there something that blocks the blessing of God? Can you imagine someone, there's a torrential downpour of rain, and this kind of sounds like something I would do, but there's a torrential downpour of rain, and this guy is walking along with his umbrella folded up, hanging down at his side, just kind of walking like that. Not the brightest bulb in the box, would he be? No. But you want to know something? There's an awful lot of people that live their spiritual lives that way. God wants to pour out blessings upon them. They're not able to get it. They are the ones who put the umbrella up to block the blessings of God from falling on them. How do they do that? By sin, by disobedience, by wrong attitudes, by all of those things that hinder the drops of the blessings of God falling on them. They don't want to get hit with the good stuff. And so they walk around with an umbrella up while the sun, S-O-N, wants to shine on their life. And they're missing the favor of God. They're missing what God has for them. Are you one of those? Are you allowing things to put you in a position where you can't be blessed by God? Because maybe the attitude stinks. Maybe there's a sinful habit in your life that you just don't want to surrender. Maybe your focus isn't on God and what He wants, but it's on everyone else and how you think they ought to be. Is there anything that blocks the favor of God from falling on you? The angel comes in and speaks to Mary and called her the most favored one. Highly favored one, and then he comes right on and says, "The Lord is with you." Wow. I'm sure to this innocent young woman, that was a sweet sounding greeting. The Lord is with me. Do you ever doubt? Do you ever doubt whether or not God loves you? Remember, you are a prized possession to Him. He loves you. And He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. You are royalty to Him. After all, you are a son or a daughter of the great King. That makes you a prince or a princess. Not one of the cartoon princes or princesses. A real prince or princess if you're a child of the King. What an amazing blessing. You are a prized possession. You are so highly favored that the Word of God tells us that no weapon formed against you will prosper. No matter what the enemy throws at you. Isaiah 54 verse 17 says this, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Wow. You are highly favored. And because of that, you can expect impossible doors to suddenly open and for every situation to turn around. Proverbs 14, verse 9 says, "Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor." Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Walk uprightly before the Lord, faithfully before Him, honoring the amazing gift that God has given you in giving you life and in giving you eternal life in Jesus Christ. Walk faithfully and watch how God blesses your life. There's an interesting thing about this. Favor is a gift. You are God's prized possession. You can expect the impossible to be done by God for you. But also, notice this. Favor will bring increase. Favor will bring increase. Mary was about to find out that increase was on the way for her. You'll notice in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33, it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You know what? Mary, being a common individual, did not have much hope for a royal existence. And now she's going to give birth to God. Wow. Wow. God is going to bless her. You want to know something? In a spiritual sense, you as well can give birth to God. Not in the same fashion as Mary, but by taking Him out into this world and sharing Him with other individuals, by witnessing, by following Him, by being faithful and seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. You are literally involving yourself in kingdom's activities, in the building of the body of Christ, in the building up of the kingdom of God. You are a blessing because you have found favor with God. folks, don't live beneath your privilege of being a royal servant of Christ. Don't live beneath the gift of life that God freely offers and pours out. Don't live beneath your privilege of being called a Christian. But instead, live daily in the fog. Live in the favor of God. Live in such a way that others will see Christ in you and glorify your Heavenly Father. Be a person of blessing. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, he's given a wage. That's not a favor. That's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. That's not a favor. When a person receives appropriate recognition for long service or high achievements, that's an award, but it's not a favor. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, cannot win a prize, deserves no award, and yet receives a gift, that's a favor. You can't do anything to earn the favor of God, but you can do everything for Him to live in the favor of God. And you live in the favor of God by walking in simple faith and obedience to Christ. God offers you His favor. He offers you His Spirit. He offers you all of heaven. He offers you eternal life. He offers you the privilege of walking with Him. Do you live in the favor of God? Are you following Him? Are you walking in faithful obedience to Him? Is your life covered with the fog of God, His shadow overpowering your life? If not, why don't you come? Why don't you get out of your seat, come to this altar today, give it all over to Him, and let Him pour out generously on you a blessing that you can't contain. Get Him to walk with you in the path of righteousness. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals and open up to number 183. Number 183. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, my eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. That cross was planted for you, that you could have life, and that you could be able to live in the favor of God. If God is speaking to you, I invite you to come as we sing number 183.